All right. What I didn't get to share last week, still on the Kingdom of God. This is part four. So by way of review, as it relates to the New Testament, we've been looking at the Kingdom of God in the old, bringing it through to the new, remembering that in Genesis chapter two, God, or chapter one, God said, "Let us make man." In chapter two, he did it. In chapter three, man fell. And God's intention was that man would rule and reign with him. He said, "Let us make man and let him have dominion." And so we were supposed to be here living and having dominion. But in chapter three, Adam and Eve gave away that dominion. And so God created, brought forth the second Adam in his son Jesus Christ, and we are going to reign with him. And when he came, we see in Matthew chapter 3, John came before him preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand." And after John was locked up in prison, from that time, Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand." We looked in the Old Testament and saw how the kingdom of God, God brought it through the kingdom of Israel, and how God always wanted the kingdom of God to be manifest through Israel, but Israel wouldn't have it. Yeah, we looked at that. We looked at how the Spirit of God coincides with the kingdom of God, how the Spirit of God came upon King Saul. But because King Saul would not obey God, which according to Samuel, he said, "For to obey is better than sacrifice, amen, and to hearken than the fat of rams." He said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." So Saul's disobedience to God was like idolatry. And God rejected Saul, took the spirit off of him, put it on King David. And that was the last time we saw the Spirit of God coming upon an Old Testament king. It came upon King David. And I shared with you how that after David died, of course, the Spirit doesn't rest on dead people. Hello. And so the Spirit lifted. Amen. And the Spirit would come upon priests, prophets, and Levites. Of course, they all died too. But God meant for, and we saw in the New Testament how the Spirit of God came upon our Lord Jesus Christ, who was a prophet, priest, and we never saw in the Old Testament a prophet, priest, and king. The Spirit of God came upon this one last king who would live forever and never die, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And John said, "He who sent me to baptize with water said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so it was Jesus Christ. So he is the king. He's the last king upon whom the Spirit came and descended and never left it. All right. So just to bring us up to speed. So Jesus comes. He's the king of the kingdom now. He comes and he starts preaching what John started to preach: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And we, like, went through the Old Testament, talked about how Israel didn't obey God, and all the more reason why Jesus came and saying, "You need to repent." You've been rejecting the kingdom of God all throughout Israel's history. They rejected the kingdom of God, and so now the final king, the eternal king, is come, and he's preaching the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. In Mark 1 verse 14, we read, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus comes to natural Israel, those who were rejecting him all of these hundreds of years, and he starts preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, gospel translated literally means good news. That's all it means. So Paul says, "I'm going to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." He means I'm going to preach the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark tells us that Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. You look here. Believers, we have good news for people. Just like Jesus had Good news for people. Now, Israel was looking for an earthly king. Hello. They thought the son of David was coming back to establish the Davidic dynasty, an earthly kingdom. They were mistaken, right? So what we see here is the result of Jesus preaching was supposed to be Israel's belief in him as Messiah, bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. That's why he came. The good news was that the rule of God is now here. The rule of God, which Israel had rejected all those years, was at hand. We see Isaiah preaching as much or saying as much in his prophecy in Isaiah 52 and 7. He said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, and who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation." This lit he's prophesying literally about Jesus Christ, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when they asked for a king, God said, "They haven't rejected you, Samuel. They rejected me. They don't want me to reign over them." Well, God, Jesus Christ comes, he starts preaching the good news of the kingdom, and the rule and the reign of God is here. And Israel needs to repent now and receive the kingdom or the rule or the reign of God. So Jesus is fulfilling this prophetic word, right? This is what Jesus came to do. He fulfilled it in preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Paul goes further and he says this in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, or the good news of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So, Paul takes this, lifts Isaiah prophecy out of the Old Testament and applies it to himself, the apostles of his day, the apostles and prophets, as they went out to preach the gospel, right? And he applies it to our Lord Jesus Christ, firstly and foremost. So what we see is that if we read this from the end back up to the beginning, the preaching started by God sending. If one is not sent, one can't preach. Well, you can preach, you can say different things, but the fruit that God gives of it comes from him, right? So it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Well, what we find out is that those who are preaching were sent by God. And the result is the beginning of the verse. The result of preaching, of being sent by God and preaching, is that those who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who call upon his name. Romans 10:13, the verse before that. Before this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was God's intention of sending preachers. They were to call upon the name of the Lord. How did it work? Well, calling on the Lord is the fruit of believing in God. Believing in God is the fruit of hearing. Hearing is the result of preaching, and preaching is the result of being sent. We see this in the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 4:43, where we read, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Jesus was sent to preach the gospel, to preach the good news of the kingdom. And because he was sent, we see this, the fruit of all of this came to pass. He was sent, people heard, people believed, and people called on the name of the Lord. Ah, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God sent his son? He sent his son. Jesus Christ was sent to preach the gospel of good news of the good news of the kingdom of God to Israel. Jesus told his disciples, don't go to anywhere else but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was sent to Israel. Now he did, you know, minister to the Syrophoenician woman and the Gentile centurion, but chiefly Jesus Christ was sent to Israel. It was the apostles who were then sent to the nations, to the Gentiles. Right? What they were sent to do what? Preach the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So we see the kingdom being mentioned well after the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the ministry of the apostles. So, I have this question here. So they were sent so that the world would believe the good news and be saved. Now, I want to look at John chapter 3 and begin to dig into this. I'm not going to get through all of this right now, today, but we'll hopefully finish up tomorrow as we go through John chapter 3, because Jesus responds to Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees. Let me read it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus with it settled in his mind that Jesus came from God. Jesus was sent from God. We saw sent, how Jesus said he was sent. Paul said those who preach God's word are sent by God. So when Jesus responded to Nicodemus, who was already astounded by the miracles of Jesus, he didn't go into his miracles and boast about how great he was because all the miracles he was doing. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about what mattered most. Jesus did not waste words. Every word from his mouth deserves the utmost attention. So when Nicodemus comes and says, hey, we know this, no one's done this. Nobody can do this unless God is with them. What does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus comes talking about, we know you've been sent from God. Jesus said, yes, let's get to it. Okay, let's get to it. You cannot see or experience, perceive, be aware of the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Jesus brings the centrality of the kingdom of God in his preaching. He brings it to Nicodemus, right? Being born again or born from above enables a person to see the kingdom of God. Remember Elisha's servant. When Elisha was surrounded by enemies, and he comes out and said, alas, master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, there are more who are with us than are with them. Elisha's eyes were open to the kingdom of God. He saw he was surrounded by the kingdom. Hello. I wonder what would happen if our eyes were open. And so you remember Elisha prayed for his servant who couldn't see. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, the mountains were full. Now, they were surrounded by an army. But the army of the Syrians were surrounded by a spiritual army, right? This happens by the will and the work of God, as Elisha cried out to the Lord to open the young man's eyes. What we find then is in here, and we'll get to it in a second, that once God knows you, then you can know God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This then, the impetus then comes from God. One must be born again, because Nicodemus, we'll get to it. He said, well, how then can a man be born again? And I said to you a few weeks ago, were you responsible for your own natural birth? And the answer to the rhetorical question is absolutely not. My parents were responsible for me being here. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Well, the same thing is true in the spirit. So Jesus says, Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, once God knows you, then you can know God. It cannot and does not happen the other way around. Jesus knew everyone he called. I want to go to John chapter 1 and look at this brief story about Nathanael. You know, we read the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And so Jesus is about to go to Galilee. Bethsaida is in Galilee or in the vicinity of there. He finds Philip and Jesus calls Philip. Now, if Jesus doesn't call Philip, Philip can't come to Jesus. Philip can't be Jesus. No. Jesus calls Philip. Philip then found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him." And I think it's only right for me where, you know, just briefly to go into what Philip said. "We have found him of whom Moses in the law." What did Moses say about him, about Christ in the law? This is what Moses said, "The Lord your God," in Deuteronomy 18, "the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." What? This is in response. Moses is recounting what happened in Exodus when the people heard God speak out of Mr. Pharaoh. They said, "Oh, no, no, we're not here for this. Please don't let him speak anymore. We're scared to death. He's so mighty. He's so holy. He's so righteous. We can't hear him." And and Moses was recounting what happened. Then he said, "Him you shall hear according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die.'" The people said, "No, his revelation of who he is too great. We can't take it. Gonna kill us." And Moses is like, "Yeah, that's right, because you are stiff-necked people, stubborn-hearted people." "And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good.'" Remember what God said, it's not good for man to be alone. God saw that everything was good. He said, God said, "Yeah, what they've spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." So Moses prophesied to Israel and said, "There's one coming, this prophet, like unto me. But anyone that doesn't hear him, it's going to be rough." This is one of the things the prophet said. Interesting how God said, "I will raise up one like unto your brethren." Why God said it was good? Because God was going to bring forth his son and reveal himself through his son. Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper." A king. "And execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." This is what the prophet said. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. He was the king and who was to reign and prosper. And he was of the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. And then finally, in Micah 5:2, we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So here's a ruler, here's a king coming out of Judah. And just to be clear that he is like no other, he comes from everlasting. It's only Jesus, church. That's only Jesus. And so Nathanael says, "Hey, we found him who these prophets were talking about." And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, let me finish reading. Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." So Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth had either a negative or a neutral reputation in the first century. Either it was plain and nothing good ever, nothing, you know, powerful or notable came out of it, or it was negative. And Nathanael's mentioning that. We don't know. However, God specializes in bringing something out of nothing. Hello. Life out of death, life out of light out of darkness. God specializes in this. So Jesus sees him coming and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." This does not mean that Nathanael was perfectly, obviously, right? But Jesus describes the heart and the character of Nathanael, having never met him in the natural, but knowing him as only God could. Jesus describes him as a no-nonsense person, describing the Nazareth of the day. What Nathanael said of Nazareth held weight, held some truth to it. And so we read further. Nathanael said, because Jesus said, "Behold, this is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." We're looking at, we already seen Jesus call Philip, and Philip came to Jesus. We're looking at now Jesus calling Nathanael. Jesus' work in Nathanael before Nathanael even recognizes the kingdom of God, before he even comes, Jesus is already at work in his life. And so Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" We read in John chapter 10, verse 14, where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." "And am known by my own." Jesus knows everybody who is his before they are his. Hello. He said in John 17, he said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that I must bring into the fold." Jesus knows us, church. Come on. Jesus knows the people that we're praying for, the people that are his that we don't know that are his. He knows us. And so when Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" Jesus would say later in the same gospel, "I know my sheep. I know my sheep." In John 10, 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, that's Philip right there. And what we're studying in John chapter 1, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee. He found Philip and he called him. And Philip came to Jesus. Jesus, Philip being a sheep of Christ, before he even knew it, he heard the shepherd's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And Jesus knew you before you knew him. Hello. Obviously, Jesus knew us all. And so now what's interesting here, what I love is what Jesus said to him. He said, "Before Philip called you." Before Philip called you. In other words, before there is any human interaction, before there is anything humanly done in a person coming to Christ, God is already at work. Jesus is already at work. Jesus knows and he sees all those who are his. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, "You must be born again," we have God, the great initiator, at work, because those who are born again because he wants them to be. He's called them. They are his sheep. He knows them. You know, oftentimes you're reading through the gospel and it'll say this, Jesus, certain people, you know, say they were going to do this or that for Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus didn't commit themselves to them because he knew all men. He knew all men. Before you experience anything today, anything tomorrow, anything this week, Jesus knows all about it and you. Why? Because I know my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. And am known by my own, Jesus said. Again, in John chapter 10, is that the right one? Oh, no, let me go further. Jesus said in John 10 and 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Now, this is for somebody. If you get a hold of this right now. Now, I wasn't even studying this. I'm studying Jesus knows his sheep. But whenever I preached a whole sermon on this, it's called Before You. Right? Jesus says he calls out his sheep and he goes before us. Means that when I go wherever I go tomorrow, whatever circumstance arises, whatever person comes into my life, whatever, Jesus already come before me, knows all about it, done worked it all out, and say, son, trust me, I'm here. I've gone before you. Do you believe me? He goes before them. He goes before them. And the sheep follow him. Why? For. That's what that for is there. Because they know his voice. This, why do the sheep follow him? The result of the work of the sheep following him, the sheep follow him is the result of them knowing his voice. In other words, his voice leads them. That's why we follow him. Some people haven't heard the voice of the shepherd. People in churches today, they haven't heard his voice. They don't know his voice. Jesus said that to his followers, to many people who believed in him in John chapter 8. He said, how is it that you cannot hear my word? He said, because you are not my sheep. He said, because you don't belong to me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So Jesus, you know, says to Nicodemus, he says, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Well, who's the one doing the birthing? It's not us. It's God. Jeremiah, we know the scripture well. Jeremiah 1:5. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hello. And you said, how do you know me? And God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I was praying this morning and this thought ran through my mind. And I said, God has fixed my existence. There are plenty of people running around wondering, why is this? Why am I here? Why is all of this here? Jesus fixed it for me 30-some years ago, 40 probably years ago now. He fixed it. I know why I'm here. Huh? There was something about when and about the when and where Jesus saw Nathanael, perhaps when Nathanael was alone, that convinced Nathanael that Jesus was the Son of God. Because Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now remember, Nathanael said, how do you know me? Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, he said, I saw you. Now from that response, Well, let me read it. Jesus says it. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" There was something about when and where Jesus saw him, where he was under the fig tree, when? Before Philip called you. There was something powerful about that that only Nathanael knows that caused him to say, "Oh my God, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said to him, "You will see greater things than these. You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." In other words, so Jesus quotes out of the Old Testament, Genesis 28, when Jacob fell asleep, had a dream, and he saw a ladder on the earth that reached up to the heaven and angels ascending and descending on the ladder. In other words, Jesus is the conduit. Jesus is the medium. He's how one gets from earth to heaven and how heaven comes down to earth. He is that ladder. He is that medium, right? And Jesus says, you're gonna see this. You're gonna see this, Nathaniel. So Nathaniel believed Jesus was the Son of God because Jesus knew Nathaniel. Right? So because Jesus knew Nathaniel, Nathaniel knew Jesus. It works in that order. Right? Once you are known of God, then you can know God. But if God doesn't know you, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He said, "Depart from me, you who work in iniquity." He said, "I never knew you. I never knew you." But here he knew Nathanael. And Nathanael then came forth as a believer, right, in the Lord Jesus. So we kind of see John chapter 3 fleshed out right here in John chapter 1. Before we ever get to a person to share the gospel, the Lord knows those. He knows those who are his. He knows those who are his. So it's not my job to sit around and say, "Well, Lord, is that one yours? Do you want me to share? Do you?" That's not what God said. He says, we're to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what my part is. So, and just to put a bow tie on this and just wrap this up and see the fulfillment of what Jesus said to Nathanael. So all throughout the Gospels, you have the 12 apostles, they're walking with Jesus, but you have these other disciples too, right? Who from day one, they were with Jesus. Justus and Matthias were put forth to become apostles after Judas killed himself. And they chose Matthias, right? So Matthias had been there. He had seen the Lord raised from the dead. He was there from day one. So there were other people. Nathanael was one of those. Nathanael was one of those. He was not an apostle, but he was one whom Jesus called to himself, and he stayed with Jesus the entire time. It wasn't just the 12, it was others. He would have been one of the 120 in the upper room, you know, on the day of Pentecost. So look at this in John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again. This is after Jesus resurrected from the dead. He shows himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Here's Nathanael. Jesus is on the shore. He has cooked breakfast for the disciples. We don't know where he got the bread. We don't know where he got the fish, but we know he has means. So he done cooked fish. And the disciples are out there fishing, and it names the ones who are out there fishing. And we see Nathanael. Nathanael was there in John chapter 1. Here he is, the first chapter he was there. Here he is in the last chapter. Why? Because those God calls remain God's own. Those who Jesus called. He said, "All those that you have given me, Father, I have lost none of them." And one of them was Nathaniel. He was in John chapter 1. Here he is in John 21. Because the good shepherd kept him. Amen. So let's go back to John chapter 3. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, he wasn't born that way the first time. He didn't enter his mother's womb and was born. It didn't happen like that. Hello. So a man is not born or born again of his own volition. You say that again. A man is not born the first time, nor is he born again of his own volition. God is the author of both births. So Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The way into the kingdom of God. Now, the way into Israel, anybody can go over Israel right now. You have Jewish heritage, yeah, they'll let you in. You can join the nation of Israel. But no one can come into the kingdom of God unless they're born into it. Can't even enter it unless he's born of water and of the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So you have the contrary one to another, right? In difference, that is, right? "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes." Jesus said, "Nicodemus, the wind is around you every day, all day long. It's blowing. Matter of fact, I was telling my wife the other day, you know, I love to go for walks, and I was coming back from a walk, walking up through a couple of townhouses, and the wind, now I didn't know the wind was doing this, but you've never seen the wind pick up some leaves and start twirling them. And it's right in front of me. It's right in front of me. Now, because it picked the leaves up, I could see what the wind was doing. But had it not picked the leaves up, the wind would have been doing that, and I had no clue. And oftentimes when I'm walking, the wind is out. The most fascinating thing to me about walking, I love the creation, the trees, the birds. But the most fascinating thing is the wind. I don't know if you've experienced it. You're walking, and the wind can be blowing this way and this way at the same time. It's blowing, according to what Jesus said, where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from, and you definitely don't know where it's going. Hello? Jesus says this. So now, I don't even understand the wind. What Jesus said to Nicodemus, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, do you control the wind, Nicodemus? Do you bring it out? You have to go back in the book of Joel, which we got done last year, and talk about how God blows the winds, how he causes the wind to blow, right? He says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So you don't know how the wind blows, and you don't know how one is born of the Spirit, but you must be born again. But you must be born again. So the king of the kingdom informs Nicodemus that being born of water and of the Spirit, both the work of God, is how one enters this kingdom. Being born of the Spirit is fundamentally different from being born of the flesh, but absolutely necessary. The new birth does not and cannot originate from man. Just as no one but God controls the wind, and it goes where he wants it to, so no one controls the Spirit of God, who brings about the new birth. In Ezekiel, and I'm closing here, Ezekiel was commanded by God. God said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath." In the Old Testament, the word for wind and breath is often the same word. Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds. He's prophesying to the breath to come from the wind. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. How did it happen? It happened by the Spirit of God. It happened by the Word of God. Therefore, those who enter the kingdom of God do so by the will and Spirit of God, even as we saw, which John said in John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. So those who have the right to become children of God and those who believe in his name are one and the same. To believe in his name is a further description of those to whom he gave the right to become children of God. How does that happen? By believing in his name. Who were born, Jesus said, you must be born again. Who were born not of blood, who were born not of the will of the flesh. It wasn't a man and a woman who came together. It wasn't your great priest. It wasn't this or that. No. He says, nor of the will of man. Man had nothing to do with this, but of God. God is the one who causes those to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. That's how they enter. And it happens by God and by God alone and not by anything we have done. You say, well, but how? Well, we just talked about it. It happens through preaching. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus was sent. He preached the gospel. People believed. Peter, John, Andrew, James, they believed, right? They heard him preaching. They believed the gospel of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. And they called upon the name of the Lord whereby they were saved. Philip called Nathanael, whom Jesus had called first. Nathanael just didn't know it, but it was all the work of God. Next week, we will ponder the work of God in bringing people into his kingdom further. Amen. Any questions or comments on the teaching? Hey, Doug. Those of you don't know, this is my brother, Doug. We went to the gym together in 1988. And this brother here, this man didn't know Christ. And I had just come to Christ in 83 and I was working out. And this man walked up to me and said, hey, if you give me your arms, I'll give you my calves. And I turned to him. And when I turned to him, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I mean, the Holy Ghost. And I preached the gospel. I just was telling him about Jesus. And this brother got saved in 1988, came to church and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's been running with Jesus ever since. And so we stay in touch. And he came on today. And good to see you, my brother. And with that, I just thank God for his work. Now, what he did in his life, all those many years ago, God is doing all over the earth.
Amen.
He's literally doing. And when the fullness of the Gentiles are gathered in, guess what? All Israel going to be saved. Jesus come back and wrap this thing up. Look here. And we're going to be with the master. We're going to be with the master. Because when I read the news and I'm studying my history, I'm studying black history right now. When I read it, I say, Jesus, I'm sorry. This world, oh Lord, this world, please. I'm like, sometimes I say, Lord, I don't like this world. Man, sometimes I say, Lord, I don't like this world. I want to be with you. I want that kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. Amen. You know, because we can't stop killing each other.
Right.
We can't stop hating one another. We can't stop mistreating one. We just, Amen. Thank you all for tuning in and for coming together in Jesus' name. We will continue to pray over these prayer requests, Rosalie and Doug. Well, of course, I'm praying for you every day, all, you know, so that doesn't change. But so we're going to continue to pray and trust God, and then we'll come together next week for the balance of the teaching and continue on in the kingdom of God. I pray God's strength and grace be with you the balance of this day and all this week. Until next week, God bless.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye now.